The music you love. The information you need. 88.5 KEOM Mesquite.
I'm Dominique Lang, and we are interrupting your regular programming to take you center stage with Dr. David Vroomlin, Mesquite ISD Superintendent. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to come here. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Today, I'd like to talk about the steps MISD has taken or will take to ensure the nutritional intake of its students. According to the CDC, lack of nutrition can negatively affect the cognitive development and school performance. So with that being said, what programs has MISD created in order to ensure that every student at MISD is receiving nutritional meals?
Well, you know, we pretty much followed the federal guidelines on free and reduced lunch programming. And you may have read or you may not have known that I actually did a lot of work in my first year here, kind of going out to the public and voicing my concerns as it relates to the nature of the food program in Mesquite, but really overall, because our food program is essentially the same as any other district. Because the federal guidelines determine what we can do and cannot do in terms of serving food. I think one of the things that we have done in athletics is we've actually worked on increasing the profile there because our athletes really consume or need to consume way more in terms of calories and good calories. And so one of the things we've done is introduce the milk program into our athletic program. And so our girls and boys now get milk after every practice, I believe, or before practice, and that's to help supplement the nutritional loss that occurs during a practice. The other thing we've done is we've actually hired a strength and conditioning coordinator for the district, and he's put on our website, and I would encourage people to go to it. Go through our athletic webpage, and you'll find an area around nutrition that will help guide you towards good nutrition at home as well as at school. I think the other piece that we're doing is we're working with Sharing Life. We partner with them quite a bit on a few things. And I think in the not-too-distant future, we're going to be doing some bigger things with them to try to help some of our families who don't have access to food on the weekends or in the summer have access to quality food so that they can make certain that they're getting that nutritional balance that is necessary. And it's absolutely correct. And one of the things I would encourage young people to really focus on are your proteins and good fats. They're really important towards cognitive development.
All right. So you mentioned that students who come from those of less fortunate homes, what other students are able to receive these benefits?
It's strictly free and reduced. And that number, and I don't know that off the top of my head. We have people who do. That number is determined by the federal government, not us. One of my frustrations, if you don't mind, I'll go off script a little bit, though. It's on that federal guideline. Is it doesn't take into account the fact that students come to us with different needs. I mean, there's some of our young people who are bigger and need more nutrition actually to make that whole body work, mm-hmm. right? They need a lot more fuel than some of our smaller people. And the other thing is we have limited our ability to provide students with what I would say are foods that they're willing to eat. It's great to have a nutritional meal. And I know that the nutritional guidelines on the plate that our students take at our schools meet the federal guidelines. They have to. You would not believe how stringent the auditing process is. But, you know, not having salt is problematic. If you've ever watched Gordon Ramsay, he's like, you need to season that, right? And it's like, students need that. I used to joke with my younger son, if you just take salt packets to school, you can sell them for a quarter apiece, and I bet you'll sell them every day, right? But the federal guidelines, I don't think, take into account taste as much as they need to. And it makes it hard on districts, especially if you're really relying on the federal program, which we do with 75% free and reduced. We rely on that federal program a great deal. And districts who don't have to rely on it can do things that we can't do.
So what are the nutritional benefits of our school meals?
Well, we know they're balanced. We know they meet the nutritional guidelines of the federal agency. I think it's the Ag Commission that oversees that. We know it meets those guidelines. I think, though, again, my frustration is not so much that they meet the guidelines. Those guidelines are based on an average kid. And not every child who walks through our lunch lines is an average kid. Mm-hmm. And that's my frustration. My other frustration is that, especially with a free and reduced population, one of my concerns is that we're not giving them enough or they're not eating what we're giving them, and therefore they're going and buying cheap products that will fill their belly. But the cheap product they're buying to fill their belly is high in carbohydrates, high in bad fats, and the end result with that is you go down the pathway of diabetes, which is exceedingly costly to anyone who has it, and it creates a significant impediment to quality of life. And so I think we've got to figure out how to balance against that. And our federal government, unfortunately, is not designed to do that. It's designed to kind of meet a median mm-hmm. person, whoever that is. I haven't met that person yet. But I can assure you it's meeting the guidelines. When you get on your plate a salad that looks tiny, it looks like a hamburger, you know, kind of accoutrement, that is meeting the guidelines set by the feds, because they will come and actually audit everything we put on a plate. And if it weighs too much and it's not just right, we get dinged. And so it's a really heavily compliance-based system.
All right. So how does MISD oversee that every kid is receiving the nutrition they need to learn, play, and grow? You've mentioned that some kids, you know, they don't eat what
they don't. Yeah. And the reality is we're in a situation where we basically have to acknowledge that some of our children will not eat the food we're putting in front of them. Mm-hmm. That's been my frustration. And there's very little that we can do about that. We have started working at some campuses on a supper kind of meal, which is more like a snack meal at the end of the day. But even that has its restrictions. And I think what my ultimate goal is to increase the awareness of students as to why it's so important to eat the foods that's in front of them. And then hopefully we can get the federal government to pay attention to their guidelines. And I understand their heart. So I'm not attacking the feds when I talk about this. Their heart is to deal with every student. But the reality is not every student is in the same profile, and they're not eating the foods we want them to eat. Mm-hmm. We need to increase the taste profile. We have chefs in our kitchens who are working to increase the taste profile, but they're so restricted. And especially when you restrict salt, that's a problem. When you can't fry anything, that's a problem. And so there's some things we try to do, but we are limited in scope. And I can't force feed a child. So.
With that being said, in your personal opinion, what is the correlation between the nutrition a student receives and their school performance?
It's significant. I don't know what the specific correlation numbers are, but it is significant. And it's significant in terms of their ability to pay attention, their ability to actually process, which is why I want to encourage everyone listening what I said earlier, good fats and proteins, eat those. And I want to encourage all the students out there to really focus on that, because it does develop your brain and it improves your ability to pay attention and to really process well. And that's been proven throughout science. You can find your good fats and talk to your nutrition teachers at your schools. They all know what they are. Mm-hmm. And there are actually good fats, and you do need a lot of proteins. Those will sustain you in long term. Eat your fruits, do all those kind of good things. And avoid those really bad foods. It doesn't mean you can't have them once in a while. I get that. I do too. But avoid them as much as possible, because they will cause you problems in the long run.
Okay. So with that being said, sometimes at the high school level at least, students who go through the lunch line don't actually have enough time to eat their food. What, if anything, can be done to ensure that these students are receiving enough time to eat?
Right. I think you'd need to address that at the campus level, so I can't really answer that, but that should not happen. Mm-hmm. Our students should have the ability to get through a line, and if we need to increase lines or we need to look at something like that, we need to look at something like that. I know where our focus in the future is to improve the line structures of all of our high schools, especially because this is primarily a high school issue.
Yes.
So we're able to expedite better through those. Mesquite High, one of them I've seen a number of times. That's a complicated place, because that building was designed for X number of students, and we are over its design, which is why we're doing a lot of work on bond work to try to get our schools within their design, right? They're not built for that many kids. But at the same time, we can look at line structures and how many lunches and dismissal times and those kind of things. So if there are students experiencing that, my encouragement would be to go talk to your administrator, because you need to have time to eat. That being said, I'm going to call out some students walking slow to the cafeteria, spending a little too much time in line talking, going and sitting at the table. See, I've been an administrator, so I know how this works. I want to encourage them to get in that line, get through that line, and go eat. You know, I know that's not what they want to do at that time. They want to talk to their friends. I get that. I mean, I believe it or not, was in high school once. And so I actually get that. But we have to account for that as well in some of our students who are kind of taking their time a little bit. But I will say, having grown up in foster homes, as some of you know, I had families that were 7 to 20 at one time. I can eat fast. So, you know, sometimes you just got to speed it up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, so how does MISD ensure that every student is consuming a meal at home?
You know, that's just education. All I can do is to educate the young people and make sure our people are educating them. Obviously, we're working with Sharing Life. We're going to be doing some backpack programs through Sharing Life that's going to be far more extensive than what we're doing now. And I'm hoping over time that we also may look at some distribution. We're going to pilot some distributions at a couple of our schools. So families who have a hard time getting to Sharing Life, even though it's in our community. For those who don't know what Sharing Life is, it's a large pantry, and it's actually the North Texas food pantry for our area. We're working with them to try to design some distribution through our schools, which will help families who can't get there and get that. But, you know, really, if children are not eating, please inform an adult in our school. Let them know what's going on, because I don't want that happening for any of our children. And we'll do everything we can to help them. We have, you know, social service agents are in our schools that can help. We've got counselors that can help. But we need to do all we can to raise awareness and also raise access. So we will continue to do that.
Okay, so what can parents, guardians, teachers, and school staff do to support or influence the nutritional intake of their children?
Write our congressmen. Vote. Get out there and express your thoughts. Students, I would encourage you, don't express your thoughts in terms of, hey, the food's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great, but that will get you nowhere. What you need to is to do good research on the nature of what is occurring through our federal program, and then become engaged in it. It's, you know, my voice only carries so far. Enough student voices in the political world actually carries weight. You guys have influence. You can have impact. But you need to do it in a wise way. Just going out and protesting the food, that's silliness. You know, what you need to do is become very aware of the rules, understand how they're affecting things, and then become involved in the political process and write congressmen, go talk to them, send them videos, you know, whatever it is. But recognize the problem is not a Mesquite problem. The problem is a federal problem, and it needs to be addressed. We need to have more flexibility with our students. Students, you need to encourage more flexibility, and we need to be able to season our foods more and actually even serve up food that others might say is not good for you. And actually, a lot more protein would be good to see on a plate.
Is there anything else you would like to say at this time?
Just thank you for raising awareness on this. I appreciate you guys doing this. This has been something at my heart for a long time. And again, I want to encourage people, go on the athletic website, look at the nutritional thing that our strength and conditioning coordinator has posted, and become aware of the significance of that in your life. Stop just eating junk. I'm not going to tell you to stop eating junk. I'm smarter than that. But don't just eat junk. That will not do you well in the long run.
Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us, Dr. Rumlin. I'm Dominique, and this has been Center Stage with Dr. V, Superintendent of Schools.